Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Teaching Techniques and Principles for the Teaching of English to Speakers of Other Languages. I am your host, Dr. Elenita Irizarri. And today we're going to be talking about planning for instruction. And planning can be at several different stages, right? You can have it at the Educational Standards section, which is Standards and Expectations. Then you can go into the curriculum, course planning, and ultimately lesson planning, right? So the lesson planning is really where most of the work is for teachers. And I know we've talked before about the instructional cycle that provides a framework for lesson planning. It comprises five stages that can be revisited as needed. The stages of backward design, which also make up the three first stages of the instructional cycle, include identifying desired results, determining acceptable evidence, and planning of learning experiences and instruction. The purpose is to ultimately make sure that there is a purpose in every lesson. Every goal is being met through the content taught, the way the content is taught. When done well, the lesson is purposeful and effective. Therefore, the three stages of backwards design begin with establishing the end goal, then continue on to determining how you will have your students demonstrate their understanding of learning, and lastly, creating the materials and/or activities that will show and assess their learning. The backwards design also allows teachers to stray away from the traditional design, which tends to include mainly activity-based instruction with little meaning and keeps teachers from marching through the curriculum. The first three stages are the core of lesson planning and instruction. The next step in the instructional cycle is to then deliver the instruction. You have just created the lesson and materials that go with it, but you must now think about what the best way to teach the lesson is. Which teaching method will be the most beneficial to your students? Finally, the last step is then to evaluate the progress. This includes both the teacher and the students. Evaluating the results from the form of assessment you choose to create. How well did your students perform, and how do those results reflect on how well you, as the teacher, taught the lesson? Once all five steps have been completed, the cycle then repeats itself. This can be for two reasons. One being that once the previous lesson was taught, delivered, and evaluated successfully, the cycle continues through the next lesson that needs to be taught. If the previous lesson was not successful, then the cycle may continue within the same lesson, and modifications should be made in the areas of the cycle that were the least impactful or the areas that need work. Identifying goals is the first step in lesson planning. These goals include both standard and personal. Standard being goals set by the state that students of each grade level should meet, and personal goals being the ones set by the teacher that they, as the specialists and the experts in the classroom, should also be met by their students through their own teaching. These goals are considered to be the desired results. When designing goals, I recommend my colleagues and teachers to think about the SMART design, right? S for specific, simple, sensible, significant. M for measurable, meaningful, motivating. A for achievable, attainable. R for relevant, reasonable, realistic, resourced, and result-based. And finally, T, time-bound, time-based, time-limited, time and cost-limited, time-sensitive, right? We need to be able to specifically identify, measure, achieve relevant learning goals within a specific time frame. So let's talk about educational standards now, right? What a student should know and be able to do according to state educational agencies. These are usually general statements that does not entail how to teach or assess. For example, it could be represent or solve problems involving addition or subtraction, right? I'm using mathematics in the first grade, the Common Core standard, just so that you can get a little idea outside of the box from ESL. So if the educational standard does not entail or detail how to teach or assess, then the curriculum should, right? Because it refers to everything that encompasses the courses being taught in school for each course. And so then the question arises, who should make curricula, right? So I'm a firm believer that curriculum development needs to occur in a team. One person cannot develop a curriculum, right? Because you need input from teachers, you need input from parents, you need input from students, administrators, curriculum design specialists, and ultimately industry experts, right? And so when you have all this input from different stakeholders, you can then go into course planning, right? Which is a detailed outline of what particular teachers should focus on. And that is based on the curriculum, and it's adaptable for teacher preferences. And so there are a couple factors that influence course planning. One is class size, school schedule, the independent characteristics of students, the instructional units, the opportunities for learning, and teacher characteristics. And why do I talk so much about teacher characteristics? Because each teacher has their own je ne sais quoi towards addressing a specific standard, right? So they can probably think about creative and different ways for what will be taught, how it will be taught, why it's being taught, and how learning will be evaluated. And so then that leads us to explore three main purposes for lesson plans, right? The first purpose is to document what is being taught and how that matches the curriculum guidelines and the standards and expectations. Then it helps the teacher think through what and how they will teach that topic. And it also allows for a substitute teacher to step in and continue the learning process should an absence from the teacher happen. A lesson plan has three main components: the instructional objectives, learning activities, and assessment strategies. The instructional objectives are clear statements of what students will achieve as a result of lesson that will be shown in an observable way. This has four main characteristics. It specifies observable behavior, identifies an action or a product, describes the condition, and indicates acceptable levels of performance. Observable behavior uses verbs that are observable, and it sorts that behavior into categories and understands similarities. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Alphabetize, apply, arrange, assemble, build, define, demonstrate, categorize, combine. Those are verbs that are quantifiable. You either did it or you didn't do it. And those are describing behaviors that are observable. We can observe a student add numbers in multiples of 10. We can see a student define related terms to weather. We can see students identifying Mississippi on the US map. So then we have examples of observable behavior. What about identifying an action or a product, right? Students must be able to do or produce something concrete to indicate learning. For example, they have to be able to assemble a 20-piece puzzle. They need to be able to make a list of personal expenses. They need to be able to revise a sample term paper. All these things involve a product that demonstrates learning. or at least meeting observable instructional objectives. When describing a condition, what that means is that it tells under what circumstances the student will demonstrate learning. Will they be working independently, without a calculator, individually, in groups of two, within a 10-minute period, right? All those describe the condition with which the student needs to meet the learning objective. And you also need to be able to indicate acceptable level of performance, right? And it can be, for example, complete with 80% accuracy, score at least 7 out of 10 points, or with one or two errors or no errors, right? So it indicates the acceptable level of performance in order to demonstrate that the student met the objective. And so let me break down this following instructional objective. Students will be able to serve the tennis ball within bounds in 6 of 10 attempts. So the observable behavior there is serve. Serve what product or action? The tennis ball. Under what condition? Within bounds. And the acceptable level of performance? 6 out of 10 times. So now let's talk about learning activities. These are also called instructional methods, instructional strategies, learning experiences, right? And these are experiences used to help students learn the content and reach the instructional objectives. This may include in-class discussion, labs, hands-on activities, debates, problem solving, field trips, which then leads us to the assessment. Assessment must be linked back to identified instructional objectives. It is how you evaluate whether the learning you specified has actually taken place. And so after discussing, right, all these ideas for planning for instruction, I would really like to see what are your thoughts on planning for instruction, specifically ESL instruction, right? So I'm going to go ahead and in addition to add my references, as I always do in all my episodes, I'm also going to open a question so that you guys can respond and let me know what ideas you have towards effectively planning for instruction. So that's all for today. As always, stay safe, and I'll see you next episode.